Sonny, I understand you're kicking off with football for your sports report this evening.
Yeah, joining us now with an update on the Gold Cup football tournament here in the United States is VOA's Tati Abeje. Sporty greetings, Tati.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The field for the quarterfinals of the Gold Cup is set. The defending champion, USA, will host Cuba Saturday in Baltimore, Maryland. The Americans have an 8-match winning streak against the Cubans. This will be the fifth time these teams will play each other in the Gold Cup, with the U.S. winning all four previous matches. The United States finished atop Group A, beating Honduras and Haiti and drawing with Panama for a total of 7 points. Cuba finished in third place in Group C, with 1 win and 2 losses and 3 points. Ahead of Saturday's quarterfinal, U.S. head coach Jurgen Klinsmann made 3 changes to his team, which is allowed in the Gold Cup. Midfielder DeMarcus Beasley, midfielder Joe Corona, and forward Alan Gordon have been added to the roster to replace Gray Garza, Alfredo Morales, and Jozy Altidore. In Saturday's other quarterfinal in Baltimore, Haiti will play Jamaica. On Sunday, there will be 2 more quarterfinal matches just outside New York City. Trinidad and Tobago will take on Panama, and Costa Rica will play Mexico, which has won the most titles in Gold Cup history with 6. The Mexicans feature forward Oribe Peralta, who is the joint leading Gold Cup scorer with American Clint Dempsey. Each player scored 3 goals during group play. The Gold Cup semifinals will take place on July 22nd in Atlanta, Georgia, and the final will be played July 26th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm VOA's Tati Abeje. Back to you, Sonny.
Thank you, Tati. Our African football guru, David Legg, has been looking at recent club action on the continent. This evening, David's focus is the CAF Confederation Cup tournament, and he begins with a draw in Mali's capital.
Group A in Bamako, which was Stade Malien of Mali, 0, Al Ahly of Egypt, the holders, 0. And in Rads in Tunisia, it was Esperance of Tunisia, 0, Etoile Sahel of Tunisia, 1. Only 1 goal in those 2 Group A matches, Sonny. And in fact, when I look at the log, only 5 goals from 4 games. That's an average of 1.25 goals a game. Not particularly exciting. Al Ahly were always going to have problems in Mali because they were short 7 of their players. And that was because of suspensions, injuries, and imminent military call-ups. And at the end of it, Fatih Mabrouk, their coach, said he was satisfied with a point. An additional problem, Sonny, for the Al Ahly team was that the match was played on a scorching afternoon in Bamako. And at the moment, because of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, the Egyptian players are all fasting, so that was an additional problem. All in all, I think Ahly probably reasonably satisfied, Sonny, with that 0-0 draw. On the other hand, at 12 Sahel, they did well to win 1-0 away to Esperance because they had a player sent off after 30 minutes. But despite being a man down, Jamal scored after 50 minutes to give at 12 Sahel victory. Etoile Sahel, we mention this regularly on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
A very interesting club in that they are the only one who have won every CAF competition. They've won the Champions League, the Confederation Cup. They've won 2 competitions that are now defunct, the African Cup Winners' Cup and the old CAF Cup. Those 2 were replaced by the Confederation Cup. And they've also won the CAF Super Cup, so they've got a special place in the history of African club football. But in recent years, they have struggled. The last 2 years in the CAF Confederation Cup, they have failed to get out of the group stage, despite being fancied on both occasions to do so. But they're now doing well, Sonny. If I look at the standings, Etoile Sahel, 2 matches, 6 points, maximum points. Ahly, 2 matches, 4 points. Stade Malien, 2 matches, 1 point. And Esperance, surprisingly, one of the top clubs in Africa, bottom of the table, 2 matches, no points. And in the next round of fixtures, we don't have the precise dates yet, but they will be played between July 24 and 26. Ahly are at home to Etoile, and it's a top-of-the-table clash. And then you've got Esperance at home to Malian. And I suppose, Sonny, that one is really win or bust for both clubs, because Malian are already 5 points behind Etoile and Esperance 6. So another defeat for either of those clubs. And I think that's it as far as their chances of qualifying for the semi-finals. If we move on to Group B, the top of the table clash was in Nelspruit, a northeastern city in South Africa. And that finished Orlando Pirates of South Africa 1, Zamalek of Egypt 2. And in Sfax, way up in the east coast of Tunisia on the Mediterranean, it was CS Sfaxien of Tunisia 1, Leopards of Congo Brazzaville 1. Now, the top of the table clash was really fascinating. A lot of good football. And at the end of the day, Zamalek, Sonny, to me, stood out as a club that can go all the way and win this Confederation Cup. That is how impressed I was by them. They certainly didn't have the better of the first half. In fact, Pirates would not have been flattered to lead at halftime, but there were no goals. The old South African problem, a lack of clinical finishing. Several chances, but they were not put away. And ironically, it was when Pirates went ahead after 68 minutes to substitute Majoro that Zamalek really came to life. They suddenly switched from second gear to overdrive. Yusuf, a Nigerian, equalized within 4 minutes, and Fati scored a sublime winner 6 minutes from the end. Sonny, this was one of the goals I've seen in the Confederation Cup this year. He managed to squeeze the ball past several defenders, curl it across the goalkeeper, Makwango, and into the far corner of the net. Absolutely exquisite goal. So well done to Zamalek. They looked impressive. This is a side that came to South Africa 2 years ago and took a 4-1 beating from Pirates, but they've clearly improved a lot. In the other match, a bit of a surprise, really. One with a fancy Sfaxien at home against Leopards. Leopards had lost in the first round at home to Pirates. But it was the Congolese who went ahead through Ganze 4 minutes before halftime. Malul, as he often did, scored for Sfaxien, converting a penalty 4 minutes after halftime for an equaliser. In the standings, Zamalek, 2 games, maximum 6 points. Pirates, 2 games, 3 points. And then Leopards and Sfaxien, 2 games each and 1 point each. The next fixture, Sonny, July 24, 25 or 26, Sfaxien at home to Pirates and Zamalek at home to Leopards. I've got no hesitation in tipping Zamalek to beat Leopards in Egypt. I believe it's not a question of who will win, but by how much. But the other game is crucial, perhaps even more for Sfaxien than for Pirates. Sfaxien, remember, have won the Confederation Cup a record 3 times, and they've been runners-up once, so they're the giants of this competition. But I believe, Sonny, if they don't get maximum points at home to Pirates, they're as good as dead in this group. And as with the Champions League, it's the group winners and the group runners-up after 6 rounds of match play that qualify for the semi-finals.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. The 144th British Open Golf Tournament officially teed off Thursday. VOA's Jonah Haskell has this update for us. Hi, Jonah.
Hey, Sonny. The Open, better known as the British Open, began Thursday in picturesque St. Andrews, Scotland, widely known as the home of golf. This year, players are teeing off on the Old Course, one of the oldest courses in the world, known for its lack of trees and firm fairways that make it the quintessential links golf course. American Dustin Johnson leads the field at 7-under after shooting an opening round 65. Johnson also led after the opening round of the U.S. Open in June. He had a chance to win that tournament on the final hole of the final round, but three-putted to give the win to Jordan Spieth instead. Spieth, who is from Texas, also won the Masters in April and is chasing history as he looks to become the first player to win all 4 majors in a year since Bobby Jones in 1930. He started off well, birdieing 5 of his first 7 holes, and sits just 2 strokes behind Johnson at 5-under. Before teeing off, Jordan spoke about what it would be like to win in Scotland.
It'd be something I'd never forget. I've watched the Open Championships here at St. Andrews, and I don't think there's anything more special in golf than playing an Open Championship at the home of golf. I have fond memories from playing here a few years back, vivid memories. One of those courses you play where you don't really forget much. Here and at Augusta National are my 2 favorite places in the world, and our preparation's almost complete, and I feel really good about last week heading into here, and all in all, I'm extremely excited. It would mean the world to me to try and win this championship, and to do it here would be even more special.
Special indeed. South African golfers Retief Goosen and Louis Oosthuizen both had stellar first rounds, as Goosen finished one shot off the lead at 6 under, while Oosthuizen, who won the Open on this course in 2010, sits at 5 under. Goosen was thrilled by his performance and hopes to be in contention on Sunday.
Definitely one of the best rounds I've played around here at St. Andrews. But it's a long way to go. Mentally wise, you need to be very strong. And we'll just take it one day at a time, see what the weather is going to do. Scoring is good, so there's a lot of players in with a chance, I think, come Saturday, Sunday. The last two Opens that were here, I think I finished 5th and 6th or something, so I do like the course. So, I would like to be there come Sunday and maybe have a chance. Who knows? It will be great.
Goosen, who has won the U.S. Open twice, has never finished above 5th place at St. Andrews. Tiger Woods, a two-time Open champion himself, continued his run of bad form at majors as he had trouble with the distance of his shots all day long and finished with a 4 over 76. Scores will most likely be inflated in the second round Friday, as rainy and windy conditions are expected to make things tough for all players, although Tiger is hoping that he will be able to play well through the weather and shorten the sizable gap between himself and the leaders. One notable absence at the Open is that of defending champion and world number one Rory McIlroy. The 26-year-old North Irishman is sitting out this year due to a serious ankle injury that he sustained a few weeks ago while playing football with friends. There is no clear timetable for his return, although some analysts believe that it might not be until January. With your Thursday British Open update, I'm VOA's Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thank you, Jonah, and thank you to Tadi Abeje. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports. Sending it back to Yehaeus Wuhi.
Thank you, Sonny.